We are the latest generation of hackers. We grew up playing video games. We were the ones who looked for all the hidden items and figured out cheat codes. We saw what computers could do and thought, I think we can do more. We heard of hackers from the mass media and thought, I want to know exactly how to do what they do. Even as these hackers were made out to be criminals, we still wanted to learn. We eventually found out that hacking is not evil, which settled better with our morals. We're here to share and educate. We are BaseNet Radio.
So that, like...
Hello world, this is Slick Zero, your host. With me today for episode 3C of BaseNet Radio is Morbid.
What up?
As you know, we usually just discuss tech news on the show, but we can get into some interesting discussions or rants outside of the news, usually still during the news section, and that's what makes us ADD Radio. Any reproduction or retransmission of this material is...
encouraged.
That's why this MP3 is available for download at our website, basenetradio.net.
Taking over Slade's job in his absence.
It's not even his job. He just started doing that one day, and yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah, it works pretty well. I got used to it so much that I just randomly said it. Anyway, our first section would normally be email, but for the past 2 weeks, we didn't have any in the new server. So we're going to get that fixed. We're working on it, and...
We have reason. We're just not ignoring you.
Yeah. We're just not forwarding you back like, you know, Mail or Daemon messages. Anyway, we have some stuff to take care of before the news, which is a little abnormal.
Ooh, yes. This past weekend, we took a trip.
We took a trip all the way from New York over to. Through the boring state of Pennsylvania.
Oh god, that was horrible. I hope to never see Pennsylvania again.
At least not from
for
Route
another
80.
Year. For another year.
All to where was that? Cleveland, Ohio. Wasn't
Cleveland
it?
Sucks. Drew Carey lied.
Oh, okay. Well,
it does not in fact rock. But
there,
the Holiday Inn was awesome.
Yeah, there was something going on at this specific place. It was known as Nauticon, they call it?
Oh, yes, I believe it is called Nauticon. Yes,
that it was an amazing... it was an amazing conference.
I have to say, for popping my cherry with a con, I think it was very good.
Yeah.
Popping my con cherry.
I've been to two cons before, and this one was by far the best. It was more chill.
Intimate. Intimate.
Yeah, more intimate, really. You could get into stuff more easily. For example, like, Droops had an awesome talk about making your own live CD, and the live CD he was using as an example was Slasterisk, which is a live CD based off of Slacks that runs Asterisk. And those are all hard words to say right now. I don't know why.
I've been stumbling. Asterisk, Slackware.
Anyway, he had a box set up in just like the general do whatever the fuck you want area. And I was messing around with it, trying to get shit working. Somebody had a random SIP phone that we were trying to get to work, but it was a piece of junk in a... was having a lot of signaling problems between itself and Asterisk. That was fun, just, like, learning Asterisk. I work with IP phones and stuff, like, outside of Asterisk. And, it's pretty fun.
But you have it down in about half an hour?
Yeah.
I mean, not down, but had it working?
I didn't have it down, but I mean...
Down pat, pretty good?
I'm getting the ideas, and I actually got... I won at a raffle there. Analog phone connector for VoIP. It's a 1FXO FXS, so it's pretty nice.
Actually, pretty funny, after you bought one.
After I bought one, but that was, the one I bought was 2FXS.
So have you set it up yet?
No, I have not. I mean, it's...
We kind of died on the, once we got home?
Yeah, as we got home, we died. And then we woke up and went to work. So yeah, now we're doing the show.
Yeah. Frickin' work. I don't think I actually was alive. I was in reverse until about 11.
Anyway, yeah, so that was a pretty awesome talk. And it was quickly that I got involved with Asterisk. And then, knowing me, the Sound Nazi, I couldn't avoid being a part of the Nauticon Radio thing.
That was
fun.
In my opinion, that made the weekend for me.
Really?
Because I showed up to about actually only four or five of the talks. There were some which I'm really upset I did miss, like the
same here.
Building your own ISP in a war zone. I really wanted to see that one. I heard that was really really good according to Slade.
Okay.
About the parts of like how something as simple as file sharing and downloads they had to prevent because the simple fact that like the packets could give away position.
Okay.
But in order to so they could keep the troops happy, they set up, if I'm remembering this correctly, they downloaded it at the base onto a server.
Okay.
And they would FTP into it.
Oh,
and
wow.
And get it. And instead of using like Cat5 and shit like that for the network, they use phone line, I guess, maybe because it's smaller and more flexible and easier to work with. I don't know. I missed it.
Were they actually throwing data over it?
Or was it
acting as like...
I didn't see the talk. These were just brief little excerpts which I heard, and I really wish I saw it. I'll have to wait for them to be available online in a year.
Yeah.
Or get a hold of the DVD.
Yeah, but that radio thing was great. Everybody who was on the radio thing, great.
It was great to meet all the other people.
Yeah, that was what made the weekend for me.
Yeah,
meeting everybody out there.
Who are part of the same scene that we are. Droops, who kind of is the reason for the... one of the big reasons for the scene, I guess.
Right, because he's like a... He's like the
hacker.
He created the Infonomicon crowd.
Yeah, he meeting just everyone and just the recognition everyone.
He's also a part of BinRev.
Yeah,
so, DDP rather.
Yeah, DDP. I just thought that made the week just hanging out at the radio station most of the time. I forgot about eating. I forgot about drinking anything for the whole weekend. I didn't really do that. We didn't really sleep much either.
Yeah,
but, it was just hanging out with the guys who. I don't know, they recognize you, they knew who you were, you say your name, and like, oh shit, that's you? That's awesome. Kind of stuff like that, and you their shows are, I don't know, I loved it.
Like, the whole radio thing to me was just the best example of what hackers can do, because it started out as a mixer, which, well, I mean, was still the center of everything by the end, but... It had, like, three mics, you know, two mics set up for people to talk into, one to be,
passed.
Just so you could aim it around at places and get sound elsewhere. And people ended up using that as a voice mic as well. But, and then I'm like, you need, somebody else wants to be on? Oh, I'll take my mic out, throw it into the mixer, okay, whatever. How do I connect this computer so I can play sounds for me? I pulled another computer, another cable out of my ass. And, eventually, it ended up where somebody threw in an FM transmitter to that thing, and we took over NPR in the area at 90.1, and we decided on WGET as our call letters.
We had it nice. We had it streaming on the internal network there.
That was the original plan, just streaming on the internal network, and then we got on the FM.
Yeah, Nauticonradio.org was it, and you could stream it
on the
internet. Yeah, on the interweb, yes.
The global interweb.
Yeah, and then Slick pulled off the pimpest move of the day, I thought, which was getting it on the show on the Asterisk box.
Well, originally it was just getting it up so you could call in and we would review the CDRs and see who called and call them back and, hey, you're on. But me and shit, I forget his name.
Tall guy with the green hair.
I don't remember his name either. Shit, I'm doing bad with these names.
Citadel.
Citadel, okay.
Was the tall guy with the green hair, I think.
Oh, all right. I'm thinking of the guy who was hosting that show that was on for like 7 hours.
I don't remember his name. What is Geek Love? No, not Geek
Love. No, it wasn't Geek Love.
I'm sorry. I apologize, Geek Love Radio, for messing up.
No, it was...
They're trying to get on Hacker Media now. Droops is going to hook them up.
No, I know. That's why I don't know the name of their show either. I've heard of the show, but it's not on Hacker Media. I don't... I'm uncertain of it, and I can't quickly see it. If you're listening to this, freaking mail me, man. But we both... the point was we both had the same idea at the same time. Like, we were both, like, talking half and half, and then we look at each other and we're like, yeah, I got to do this now. And pretty much made it so you call in to Asterisk, and it streams off the web, the radio, and you could just dial a number, and there you go. And that the number was, I'm not going to give it away in case he's still using it, but that was Droop's Broad Voice account. I doubt he's still using it, and I copied the configuration to my laptop to make it easier to run at that point so I wouldn't lose the config, but... I hope he changed his info.
Yeah, but
I'm
in
not
going to
try either way.
That was a pimp move of the con right there.
Yeah, that was like the whole thing, just the whole radio station all together was awesome. It started out as like just a simple thing that would be running the entire weekend, and everybody just wanted to keep building on it.
It showed the community, in my opinion, which was able to happen because of the small number of people there.
Yeah.
Everyone knew everyone. And, by the end of the time, everyone knew everyone.
Yeah. And, I think the Nauticon Radio thing was actually, the idea of, Jason Scott. He had an interesting panel, too.
Oh, yes, Jason Scott did have an interesting panel.
On Wikipedia, on how it, like, failed and stuff.
To fail,
and we were talking about this a few weeks back or like a month back or something about like it's gonna have problems, but we found something on Wikipedia from looks like a little bit before the conference started, and I don't know if this is accurate, if the one before it's accurate, but right now the one that this isn't is what's on Wikipedia. You decide for yourselves.
I think, in my opinion, this is the most accurate one.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I mean, the noticeable differences were in the education category. I think people were just being assholes and were changing up on him because of his talk. So, which is why I think the one before the con was the accurate one.
Okay.
Okay, that's my basis on here. And I'll just go with it here. Let me raise up the brightness so I can actually read and bust up the size. Okay, here we go. Jason Scott Sadowski grew up in Brewster, New York. This was a man who truly loved his hometown. His favorite pastime was roaming with the local cattle herds across the prairies. Even to this day, Jason continues his admiration of this most venerable bovine creatures through his homage site, http://www.cow.net. As Jason entered Madison Stanton University, he quickly established himself as a prodigy in the field of bovine studies. But sadly, Jason's love of the beast could not be quelled by his yearning for a career in the art world. His brief foray in the field of psychology allowed for one of his earliest masterpieces, Le Bovin Amore. In this startling introspective look at the life of the ranch hand in the Adirondacks, Jason Scott is able to capture the true love shared between a ranch hand and his favorite milk cow. Through thick and thin, the young ranch hand, is able to convey the tranquility and consolement of the bovine lifestyle. The clash of human societal conflict against the naturalesque sinescapes of this film expose the forbidden passion in the light absent of malice and judgment. Upon the successful release of this film, Jason met with harsh criticism from his peers and decided that a continuance in his chosen field of academia would only serve to stifle his grown creativeness. It was at this point that Jason changed majors to communication arts and moved to Boston. Jason has taken taboo subjects over the years and portrayed them in a light that we can truly appreciate. His original perspective and open mind make him a truly versatile muse.
Now, that was posted by somebody, and then like 5 minutes later, it was changed back. Interesting.
Yes.
But it wasn't deleted, so there's one thing that's on Wikipedia that wasn't deleted.
The great failure of Wikipedia. Oh, at Nauticon 3.
But, yeah, wow. I have a feeling you're wrong, and that's not the accurate one.
Really?
Just a guess. Well, I don't know.
But we met him. It fits.
If it's something he would say,
sharp,
but I don't think that's him.
Those eyes, those
the laser eyes,
those piercing laser eyes. Just I don't know the outfits he wore. Yeah, I think he likes.
He does cool stuff.
Yeah,
he does stuff for the community.
Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, he's a good guy, and because of him, we can now say "bitch move, Jason Scott." Bitch move.
Who originally said that anyway?
That was Open Fly.
Okay, on the van
believe,
over.
I believe it was Open Fly in the Triple H.
Okay.
It was in the Triple H when when we were looking up Wikipedia and found our most venerable bovine
little
entry.
Thing. Yeah.
Bitch move, Jason Scott, for changing that.
Yeah, that's right. All I just remember is like there were a few people like in the group that rode over on the van that were saying that.
And then it became a huge thing. Kind of not too huge. Kind of just like in Soviet Russia. In Soviet Russia. I can't think of any of them, but there's a
Wikipedia
lot of
Wikipedia change you. There you go.
That works.
Yeah, I guess it does. But let's see, what else went on at this con? There was a scavenger hunt.
Ooh, there was a scavenger hunt.
That you were taking part with, as well as, it was you, Slade,
Low-Tech,
right.
And Risk-Free.
Low-Tech Mystic.
Yeah, Low-Tech Mystic.
From Ninja Night School, check that out.
Good shit. He already has his talks from his little audio from the
right, he has an audio from Nauticon up already on Hacker
already.
Media.
Yeah, I was listening to them. I need to download more of his episodes. We have him and Risk Free, who also gave a talk. I missed his because it was last day in the morning, and that's kind of bad idea for talks. But we did that and got second place because some guy decided to dress up in a girl's bathing suit on stage.
Yeah, and that got
and
them.
that cost us the win.
Yep.
Darn.
But that looked like fun though.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about doing it, but then I thought, no, I have dignity.
I was doing other stuff at that point, probably with radio or just hanging out somewhere else.
Slade made a G-string and bikini top out of Nauticon stickers.
Oh. Okay. Yep.
It looked sexy on him.
What? Wow. Okay. Anyway, I hope you don't have any pictures of that.
No, I do not. I definitely did not take pictures of that.
But there are already pictures available, too. Low-Tech had them, right?
Low-Tech did?
Yes. I believe so. Let me double check. I did see pictures up somewhere.
Really? I'll have to grab those. I mean, I have pictures, but I don't have them on the interweb yet.
Okay. Yes, I saw your pictures.
I have a lot.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
I have a lot of pictures from Nauticon Radio up there.
It looks like Iron Geek already has his panel up.
Really?
For download, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. You'll have to link that to me.
It's on Hacker Media.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'll go to Hacker Media when I go home.
Talking to Iron Geek for some time there too.
Yeah, we had
cool guy.
We had dinner with him, Yeah, I've never met him. I've heard the name plenty of times, never actually met the guy. But do I have no? But yeah, really really cool guy. Has a lot to say. Intelligent.
Anyway, is it time for the news yet?
I don't know. Do we have anything else from the...
I'm sure there's stuff we're forgetting.
Yeah.
But yeah, shouts to everybody we saw there.
Okay, and if you go to... If you ever happen to be in the Hollywood... Was it Express? I don't know. The Holiday Inn Express or something in Cleveland, Ohio. If you go down the staircase to the first... What's supposed to be the first floor bar side, they have their Linksys router ripe for the picking there.
Were you doing urban exploration?
No, never. Caution! Hacking the Gibson.
Oh, right, because that was a sign that you put on the business center.
That was Pony Boy.
Oh, Pony Boy put that up there?
Pony Boy put it up there.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, all good times from Nauticon. But if we keep talking about this, we're just going to annoy people or, like, just die.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So we will move on to another section. That would be the news section of BaseNet Radio, whatever that would be. Well, what that is the section that we discuss news from the past week in the tech and computer industries, as well as any other news we find relevant to the general idea of hacking. We try to vary our sources, so you may hear something on the show that you may not have heard elsewhere. Also, if you would like to be a BaseNet correspondent, simply send us an email with an audio attachment of yourself doing a report on something of your interest. It can be anything from reading and commenting on tech news to reporting on an interesting hack. And this first bit of news is about bovine love and
but again,
actually, somebody recently wrote a proof of concept virus that can infect both Windows and Linux systems.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, just the idea sounds interesting and worth mention. This was from computerworld.com. Kaspersky Labs is reporting a new proof-of-concept virus capable of infecting both Windows and Linux systems, as just said. I hate how they have the title the same as the first sentence.
Yeah.
The cross-platform virus is relatively simple and appears to have a low impact, according to Kaspersky. Even so, it could be a sign that virus writers are beginning to research ways of writing new code capable of infecting multiple platforms, well, operating systems, rather, said Shane Corson, senior technical consultant at Kaspersky. So that's interesting stuff. The new virus, which Kaspersky calls virus.linux.by.a/virus.win32.by.a. Why do they always name them in such cryptic manners? Whatever.
I don't know why they name them like that. Do they just have a random word generator? I don't know.
Could be anything.
Random string.
Could be anything.
Open the page in the dictionary. Point.
point. Well, they all begin with, like, virus dot.
Yeah. So
probably started at, like, McAfee or Norton or whatever. But yeah, that's interesting. I would like to see that actually, like, I wouldn't like to see that spread. But it would be interesting to see, like, how well it would if it did. I mean, because it would be on both things, and a lot of people run Linux servers.
Mm-hmm.
If it hits one of them, then every time you hit it depends on how the virus is written.
Mm-hmm.
It could be where every time you send a request to the thing, it will send the virus to your IP if it knows a hole in it, but most likely it's going to be one of those things you have to run it in order for it to actually work.
Mm-hmm.
And most people running Linux system compile their own binaries, unless it's like thrown as a package for a distro or something.
Like me.
Well, yeah, but even still, most likely it won't be included as like a stable, like downloadable thing. I don't know. And it would definitely not get any Gentoo users if they're actually using a portage for most of their stuff, which is likely. But yeah, I found that thing interesting.
I got something up here that I think you found. In Raleigh, it's in St. Louis. A new device allows a woman to see, even without eyes.
Actually, that I did not find. Do not remember who did.
Okay. Well, someone found this. And it says that, you know, there's a lot of people, more than 1 million people in the United States are legally blind. many of them who actually, you know, they used to be able to see, and something happened.
And it fades,
they lose their sight. Something bad happened. This woman here, I guess her name's in the article. I could say it. Cherry Robertson calls herself Robo Chick. When she was 19, she had a car accident and lost both of her eyes.
Damn.
Yes.
That sounds bad, because you would think the worst thing that could happen in a car accident wouldn't be the eyes, so that must have been a horrible accident.
And that was 15 years ago. And so what she said to herself was, wow, I'm blind. I really got to start doing things differently now. And she definitely did. Okay, so she went to Portugal, and she became the 16th person in the world to have special electrodes implanted in her brain. And now she can see.
How well, though? I mean,
guess if you're blind, anything is big. Let's see. I got up to that point in the article when you finished your story. Okay. The neurosurgeon Kenneth Smith of St. Louis University School of Medicine said the procedure is the first to reverse blindness in patients without eyes. They're really seeing. The brain is getting impulses just like when you and I see. The camera on the tip of Robertson's glasses sends signals to a computer that's strapped around her waist. The computer then stimulates electrodes in the brain through a cord that's attached to the head. Patients see flashes of light and outlines of objects. Whatever I see is just two splashes of light, so I know something is there, Robertson says. She admits support from mom, and local Lions Club keeps her spirits high. If I was all depressed, I couldn't affect anybody's life so good, and I wanted to make a difference, so I guess that's why she did this. Mm. The surgery is not yet performed in the United States, but Dr. Smith says he hopes it will be in the next 5 years. So I guess, I mean, it's, you don't really have detail, but you want to know it. If you're blind and you can't see anything, flashes of light and outlines are definitely a step above. Like a 1,000% improvement.
I'm just wondering. I mean, that's interesting. It must be like very like it's either there or not at this point.
Let's see.
Because it's sending electronic impulses, so that sounds like it's some sort of binary system.
Let's see how it worked. How does it work? The device works in conjunction with the surgery that doctors perform to implant electrodes in the brain.
Right, and then they connect the wires.
A tiny camera sits on the edge of a pair of glasses and sends signal to the camera. The computer processes the information and then sends it to cables that actually plug into each side of the patient's skull. Okay. Electrode inside the skull stimulates the back of the brain, which creates visual signals. The image is described as what you might see when a flashbulb goes off in front of your eyes. It is also compared to a series of dots you'd see on the scoreboard at a sports stadium.
Okay. All right, so it is very, it seems very much like digital.
Yeah.
Going out of there. It's either on or off.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they could make it so the camera would release analog data instead, like the luminance.
No, I think actually.
And have that go, depending on where it's going from, have the luminance be thrown in that spot, so it would be at least a little.
You could tell
differences between the light.
Well, I don't think there's really going to be any improvement right now, because the guy who's been doing this for William, this scientist William DeBell, who's been doing this for the past 30 years, he'd be dead. he passed away recently due to complications from, health problems. Okay. So now the other guy, Dr. Smith from St. Louis, like doctors like him are looking, want to continue his work.
Well,
yeah,
it's something good to research. Yeah.
There you want? Oh wow, this was as far. There were no governmental or hospital problems with getting permission to do the experimental operation. Oh, never mind. In Portugal. Whereas it would be almost impossible here.
Interesting.
Plus it was much cheaper, about one third of the cost in the hospitals as it would be in the U.S. hospitals. It says the cost of the procedure runs about
$120,000.
However, the woman from this article was lucky, and the local and national Lions Club covered the entire cost of her procedure.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Right now, the computer only allows Cherry to see flashes of light, and she can only use a device for about 1 hour a day.
Oh, battery charging stuff.
However, as the power is increased, Sherry will be able to see images with greater detail. Maybe it's something you have to work up at, you know, to get the brain used to it. To kind of reteach the brain, maybe?
Well, it may work like that. I don't know, but,
kind of, you have to warm up the car on a cold day, you're gonna have to warm up the brain. Maybe. I don't know, because...
Like you say, if the power increases to the thing...
Mm-hmm. But then it may be at a dangerous level at some point.
I don't know, maybe it's not right now. Maybe it's, like, barely light enough. You never know, maybe it's... I mean... The voltage being sent out from the little impulses may be, like, very, very light. Just enough so it's, like... Like, if you're walking around at night,
mm-hmm.
with no lights on or anything, but you could still kind of see, like, a slight bit of light reflecting off of something. Maybe it's more like that at this mm-hmm. point, because it's so little, minimal.
Like
I
said, you want to know?
I don't know.
If you're blind, I'm sure you'd appreciate any little bit.
Right, and I'm not a brain surgeon, so I'll stop my assumptions now.
Yeah. Because you want to know if it was that easy?
Anyway, into some different, less serious news. Yes, this is still rather serious. Five young women put up question blocks in Ohio recently, actually April 1st, and this is not an April 1st thing, and the bomb squad was called in. You know, like question blocks from Super Mario 1, those kind of things. They just put them around town to make the place more like, you know, a video game. Just as like a public art type deal. And apparently there is like a package, a suspicious package, you know, one of those things that just had a question block and just happened to look like the one from Mario, and people were like freaking out and called the bomb squad about it. Yeah. But yeah, now I really want to put the like question blocks around where I am.
Yeah, I think that's pure bullshit that, and they might be brought up in charges.
Yeah, that's, there's like four sources for, like, continuations on the story. It's funny.
And we were in Ohio and we really wanted to do this, but it's just a lack of not enough time.
Yeah. And there's better stuff to be done at Nauticon than
yeah.
put question blocks around, it seems. And wow, I like this article. It starts out, it's official, the terrorists have won. Even the smallest Ohio town is convinced that it's on Osama's hit list, and now six high school art students may find themselves spending spring break in Guantanamo. Well, I'm sure it won't go down like that, but still, it's... They started out as an April Fool's prank to put question blocks from Super Mario Brothers around town. Yeah, and they... And the funny thing is, like, the girls followed online instructions for how to make the question blocks. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you need instructions how to make a Super Mario Brothers question block?
Hey, dude, that took us, like, what, half an hour to get the type of blocks we liked?
That's because I was working on the show. That was all you.
Okay, I'm sorry. I came up with a good one at some point. After some point. Two people with a combined education, years in education of, let's see...
40
About probably 40, and took us about a half an hour to figure out how to make a 5.5-inch cube out of poster board.
Yeah,
that's kind of sad.
And we didn't even get to the it's not hard. It's just getting it perfected, I guess.
And how we support.
Honestly, I don't like those because those are fucking small for like.
Well, we could do one per poster board.
You could do, like, one per two boards and make it nice and big. But anyway.
Okay, this future. Future plan. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be that hard. I mean, the hardest part on how to do... First of all, you make a box. Making a box. Yeah, okay. So you got a box, and then you put, like... You go to some webpage where you could see a Mario question block. Oh, look at that. Okay, you draw the question block out. That's what it looked like, and if you didn't know what it looked like, you could just draw a question... four dots on a block and you're done. I mean, shouldn't need instructions for that, but whatever. It's still stupid that they could face charges. Anyway, here's something interesting. don't have a tiny URL for you, but it's the crypt. It's on the crypt.co.uk/lockdown, and it is password recovery speeds. It's a lot of nice charts on how long it would actually take, depending on the length of your password and what kind of
characters you have.
Right. It's pretty cool. Like 62 characters, mixed upper and lowercase alphabetical characters plus numbers. If the password is 8 characters long, there are 218 trillion possible combinations. Using the best type of way of recovery possible, that will take like 60 hours about.
And the worst type of recovery possible, way too long. 692 years. I was looking at this chart. It's pretty interesting. So I have a pretty good password.
Let's see. Mine is the full alphabet. Either no, I use more than that. I use full alphanumeric plus an extra character. So, wow. Okay. In that case, mine would take.
Is yours even on that chart, or is it more? Is it longer?
I don't know. But
I don't know. Yeah,
I'm pretty good with mine.
Yeah, I'm fairly impressed with mine, with how mine will hold up.
Now, how do you encrypt yours? Rot 26. That means you rotate by 26 keys alphabetical. There's only 26 letters in the alphabet.
Okay,
it's a joke.
This is how I encrypt mine. My password is. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't care. Until something happens to me. Then I will.
Then you'll care.
Yeah, I know. No, I care. Just not enough to do anything about it.
Nothing's ever happened to me. Yeah. I don't really have anything too special in this box. But, I mean, I would like to protect what I have, because I'd be pissed if somebody rooted me.
Yes, this is not an open invitation to do stuff.
Yeah, my IP address, if you want to scan my network, is... Right.
Is the same one as Microsoft's.
It just happens to be that way, you know?
Yeah, I thought it was a coincidence. I found it funny.
Yeah, because I run IIS right now, and... right. Anyway, let's see. What else is there?
Oh, I think I pulled something up. I just forgot. Oh, yes. A phone firm plans to offer free broadband.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this one of those wireless things again?
Maybe. Oh, no. It's for a landline service.
Really?
Yeah. Mobile phone retailer Carphone Warehouse is expected to announce the launch of free broadband service later this week. This is according to BBC News. So I guess maybe we're screwed out of it.
Yeah, that's not for us. Never mind.
It's not for us. No. But still, I think it's cool. It's cool. The company looks poised to provide free access to customers who sign up to its TalkTalk landline service. A Carphone spokeswoman said that it could not comment on speculation, but it did have plans to expand its broadband service in 2006. The move could lead to speculation. The move could lead to a big shape-up among internet providers. And I think that's kind of cool. The news comes after satellite broadcaster BSkyB confirmed last week that it is to start offering broadband communications this autumn. Yeah, but they're not going to do it for free. They're expected to offer low-cost deals. And Carphone Warehouse's move into the market is expected to start a price war. Except, Carphone is supposed to do it for free? I don't know. The UK broadband sector is currently dominated by BT, AOL, I don't know why, Wanato, and NTL. So that's kind of interesting. I like it. Hopefully if it starts offering free broadband that's going over there, maybe it will carry over here.
Okay. That's interesting. Now, another thing that I have, I will get open in a moment, is this what's called the Angry IP Scanner. Why is it called the Angry IP Scanner? Once I open up a new tab and paste the URL in there. It's supposedly will scan an entire subnet in 5 seconds. Something tells me it's one of those deals where you want to scan it and don't care that they know, because that's a pretty quick scan. That's something where you would plug in to their network, scan, done, bye.
I should try it. Now let's see, what is this for?
It's a port scanning.
No, I mean, no, I know that.
The program itself is for what it looks like a Windows program. However, I'm sure there's a way you could do this with Nmap as well, because there are all kind of options that you could do. You could set the delay time between each IP or each port on the IP.
You can run Angry IP Scanner under Linux using Wine.
Well, okay.
Yeah, it says it right on the bottom.
Yeah, it's a simple enough program. I would imagine Wine would take care of that.
But I should try this on my Windows box at home.
All right, well, I wouldn't go too far outside of your network.
No, I was going to just figure, yeah.
Because it seems it will be an obvious way that it will be doing the scan, so.
Maybe I'll go sit my box on someone else's, my lappy on someone else's network and just.
Just do your internal range.
Yeah.
And find out what IPs are open on your range, if, and then find out what's open on. Anyway, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Excuse me.
You always do that, man.
I thought I could last.
How could you not? You just don't. Oh well.
No.
What's it called? There is. I'm sure there's more than that that we have.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just looking.
We'll find. Stop looking.
Okay, let's see. Lab. I don't know if this is important. If you're, it seems that if you're in the San Francisco area, you may be. Once it loads, I can proceed. Yes. Okay. It seems there has been a rise in grab and run laptop thefts in San Francisco.
Okay.
At internet cafes. They're stalking the internet. They're going around the internet cafes. And let's see. I was jumped from 18 in 2004. And 48 in 2005. And are currently on pace to crack 70 this year. I mean, doesn't sound like a lot, but.
Okay, is this a link that's on here?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It's Laptop Robbers Stakeout SF.
Oh, I completely missed that one. Okay.
Cafes offering wireless access are the new hunting grounds for robbers, police told The Chronicle. Am I vibrating? To the criminal element, this is a valuable piece of equipment that they can quite easily cash in on. Yes, that's very obvious, Mr. Inspector. Robbie Dill saying, where else do you have $1,000 item sitting on a table in a coffee shop? Yes. Robert sell the stolen computer on the street or the internet as little as $200, $300. Maybe that's where I got mine from.
Oh, jeez.
Last month, a 40-year-old man was stabbed during a robbery in Mission District Coffee Shop when two men, one roughly 15, the other about 20, fled with his $2,500 Apple PowerBook. The man who asked his name not be used recovered. Well, obviously, if he asked that his name wasn't used, he recovered. You walk by any Starbucks and you see people with laptop. It's so tempting for the crooks. They walk in right on top of the person, and the person has all their attention on the laptop. They snatch it right out from underneath their fingertips. Are we going to have to start attaching the laptop locks to ourselves now?
Nah, I'm always pretty conscious of people around me if I have my laptop out in a public place.
I didn't worry about that this weekend.
Yeah, oddly enough, I mean, usually at the larger cons, you like have the laptop literally, like you put glue on your hands and make sure that your palms are on the laptop.
I placed my laptop down on the table and walked away for hours.
Yeah, and it was still there.
And my cell phone, and allowed people to use it, and there was no long, like...
Crazy calls on
it.
Yeah,
there's no crazy calls. It was amazing.
I left my laptop sitting there for like a good hour or two. So now people are like, damn, how'd I miss that? But yeah, that was a good thing. Everybody seems very trusting of each other there. Anyway, oh, that's cool.
What?
It seems there's at Princeton an orchestra, like a full orchestra. I guess it's like strings and horns, like, you know, all the sections of a full orchestra played through everybody's separate laptop.
Really?
Yeah. But I mean, I haven't listened to this yet, but like the picture, everybody's out of power book with like a wire.
Do they have any audio on here?
Yes, they do. I don't have it to play though.
We should get it and then you play it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's cool stuff though.
Yeah,
I'd like to hear that.
It's a very minimal site, but
yeah.
I'm looking at it and it seems pretty.
What's the site? Oh, plork.cs.princeton.edu.
P-L-O-R-K.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Everybody has, like, their own little rack with, like, gear in there. Power. They even have speakers in, like, the separate areas where each instrument should be. Oh, wow. That's pretty neat.
I wonder
how it
looks like
the picture changes. Oh, yeah, the picture changes every time you load.
Really?
Yeah. That I didn't notice at first.
Mine didn't. Oh, now it did.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't even know that till just now. I mean, I saw that like a while ago. I should have had the music available.
Oh yeah, some of these pictures are pretty badass of it.
Yeah.
Looks like they have like a setup that like a car audio equipment that like someone who liked car audio would like drool over.
Oh yeah, the type of speakers that are on there.
Yeah, the boxes they have set up for it.
Yeah. Anyway, what's this robot in every home link? It is lame.
Is it?
Yeah, because you need to log into New York Times. Fuck that.
Oh, I think I have a New York Times account.
Oh, okay. Then you probably put that there.
Probably. Let me see if I still have it.
I guess not. Oh, well, we'll move on to something else then.
Okay.
You pick something, since my last pick was bad.
Your last pick? Why was it bad?
Because it was the new
Times.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I don't remember the email I used. Okay. What is this? I think this is something that you put in here. Every click you make, they'll be watching you.
I don't remember that, but
funny thing
go for
is
it.
That's also New York Times, but you didn't need to log in.
How's that work?
And now that one was Gator Claria will want to eat your babies?
What?
That is so not the article.
okay.
Hey, well, okay. Every click you make, they'll be watching you. Would you trust a company enough to let it follow your every click online? Claria, a company once vilified for raining pop-up advertisements across the internet through its Gator software.
Oh, them.
Is betting its business that the answer is yes. Claria said it would announce Monday the release of Personal Web, a service that will let people download a piece of tracking software and receive a homepage filled with news stories and other information tailored to their interests. If a man, for example, downloaded this software and surfed through stories about the NCAA basketball tournament and car reviews, the personal web homepage would reflect these interests the next time he clicked it. In addition to showing newer headlines about cars and college basketball, the page might also feature ads from car companies or for jerseys from the man's favorite team. Claria said that because these ads are so closely aligned to the user's interests and recent behavior, marketers would be willing to pay more than they might on other sites for the ability to reach personal web users. This part of Claria's plan is convincing enough for some analysts and privacy advocates appear...
Privacy.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I have small font here. Privacy advocates appear satisfied that Claria will stand by its pledge to track only the computer whose owners it does not identify, not the personal information of the user.
Oh, shit.
Thank you. I mean Gesundheit. whether many consumers will use the service anyway and give marketers an audience worth pursuing is a big question. Ignorant people will. If they kind of be like, oh, the new Gator is... Gator software is... The new version is being called Personal Web. And it offers a personalized website.
It sounds like every other piece of spyware out there.
I know.
Just come on.
I know, except the company's admitting to doing it. trying to do it. That's the only difference. But you know how many times when I worked back in IT, so many people had Gator on their computer.
Yeah.
So many. So if Gator just, at their next update, changes itself to Personal Web... And, yeah, you know, they'll be like, you have to agree to the new terms of service. Of course, they're just going to hit I agree, and they'll be allowed to do it.
Because that's the whole way that, like, the user world uses Microsoft Windows. They don't know what they're doing. They just next agree, done.
This article keeps going on, but it's too big for me to want to continue. It's really long, actually. And it goes to another page. But, yeah. I don't think it's going to work. The only people, in my opinion, who it will get is, like I said, ignorant people who, just like they use Gator, will probably just update.
Yeah, they want to eat your babies. That makes sense now. Makes perfect sense.
Babies eating. What's funnier than that? Never mind.
Anyway, I'm sure there's more out there. What's the Z Phone thing?
Z Phone, where is it?
Yeah, check that out. It's on the wiki.
I don't know.
Yeah, in case you haven't noticed, we set up an internal wiki to use for putting our links, and now it will be more or less an easy copy-paste to put them up on the site, so we are going to get that for you. Soon enough. Just hold out for a bit.
Getting started with Z Phone beta software? What is Z Phone? Interesting. Z Phone is my new secure VoIP phone service. Has a awful picture on it, which lets you make secure phone calls over the internet. It encrypts your call so that only the other person can hear you speak. Z Phone lets you whisper into someone's ear, even if their ear is 1,000 miles away. In the future, the ZRTP protocol used by Z Phone will be integrated into standalone secure VoIP clients, but today we have a software product that lets you turn your existing VoIP client into a secure phone. The current Z Phone software runs on the Internet Protocol stack on any Windows XP, Mac OS X, or Linux PC, and intercepts and filters all the VoIP packets as they go in and out of the machine, and secures the call on the fly. You can use a variety of different software VoIP clients to make a VoIP call. The Z Phone software detects when the call starts and initiates a cryptographic key agreement between the two parties, and then proceeds to encrypt and decrypt the voice packets on the fly. Has its own little separate GUI telling the user if the call is secure. It's as if Z Phone were a bump on the cord, sitting between the VoIP client and the internet. Think of it as a software bump on the cord. Maybe a bump in the protocol stack.
Okay. That's awesome.
Question. Do both people have to have Z Phone?
I would imagine so. It would, if it's an encryption decryption thing, that you would be encrypting it, they would be decrypting it. Kind of like the game encryption plugin for...
I need to get that.
The game aim client. So that if you have it available and the other person doesn't, it won't use the encryption. However, if both people have game encryption and you have it set to automatically use it, then your chat's going to be encrypted. Same here, but with VoIP as opposed to just text packets.
Well, they have something. They have a little picture of the GUI there, and it looks cute. How sweet. It's very
Mac OS X.
Polished, pretty looking.
Mac OS X looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool. How are we looking on time?
We have about 5 minutes left.
Wow.
5-6 minutes left. So we're doing good.
You know, somehow when it's just, I don't know, somehow it works out actually somewhat organized.
Yeah, I don't know how we came up with this news. Oh, yeah, we didn't have a show last week. I should,
point out.
Yeah,
we also didn't look hard for news because we had...
Yeah, it was more or less, we were just ADDing the entire time we were supposed to be getting news, and we were doing it, like, every other week anyway at that point. So it's like, why don't we just finish this month of, like, not doing stuff, and, do another week with nothing.
And then we'll get back on the ball.
Yeah, hopefully soon. I mean, I have some stuff going on where I should be shortly, hopefully, moving. So once that's all finished and taken care of, I am going to have much more time. And that time is going to be put towards the scene in general. So I hope to do a lot more.
Okay, this one, here's a story which disgusts me, actually.
Go ahead.
It does. Teen faces child porn charges for posting pics of friends. Simple as that.
Okay, well, how does that disgust you?
Child porn is wrong.
Yeah, well...
Nah, I don't know. No. Here...
I was just making sure it was that part that disgusts you, yes, and not, yes, like, the part where
child porn
teens
is
being
wrong.
Charged.
No,
okay,
no.
Good.
A Michigan high school student faces child pornography charges over an internet party prank. Prosecutors charge Ryan... never mind. Never mind. I'm not saying the last name. This guy's only 17. Then they have his name in it?
That happens when the actual person allows release of their name.
Posted a picture of two teens having sex on his blog. The photo was taken at a New Year's Eve party at the guy's house. Authorities say the boy in the picture is 17, while the girl is 16. You know, I have no issues with people under 18 having sex. Who cares? It's the making porn out of it.
Yeah, and besides that... Fucking idiots post everything on their blogs. Stop it. Anyway, I mean, I seriously, maybe that's why they need books on how to write blogs.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Seriously.
Yeah, B9 Punk. Way to get the book.
Who ended up with that book? Somebody just kind of, like, grabbed it.
Isn't it B... What was it? Was there number 9? I forget.
Yeah,
B9 Punk.
I don't think B9 Punk had ended up with the book, though.
I think so.
Oh, really?
Because she's like, do you want it? She's like, you helped out with a lot. You gave me a drink at the party. You can have the book. Oh, but the kid, this kid,
I thought
now,
that was a different book, though.
I thought it was B9 Punk, because that's why the villain was making fun of her all the way back.
I thought they were just making fun of the fact that there was a book about how to write a blog.
Oh, I thought it was because she got it. I don't know. Well, this kid now faces up to 20 years in prison if convicted of the most serious charges, which are felonies.
Right.
Yes. When are you people going to realize child porn is wrong? Normal porn is fine. Child porn is wrong.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with tech at all, except for the whole blog thing. Oh, well.
And porn. The internet is for porn. Come on.
Good point, but not that kind.
Well, it was on our news links site, so...
Yep. And we got about 2 minutes left, so...
Bitch move.
Shoutouts to, Let's
run through the names.
Yeah, I'll try to remember everybody. Droops.
Droops, Pony Boy, Low
Pony
Tech.
Boy. Right.
Risk Free... Iron Geek.
I'm okay with names. It's the whole remembering them.
B9. McFly.
Eyeball.
Eyeball. Open Fly. Villain.
Aesthetics.
Aesthetics. Slade.
Who couldn't make it today? Because his ISP is the lose.
Bitch move. Bitch move.
Yeah, whoever.
Who else? Oh, shit, there's so many more names. Damn. Well, everyone.
Jason Scott.
Jason Scott, yes. Jason Scott, actually, yeah. He,
with laser eyes.
All of the staff of Nauticon.
Yes, of course.
Yes, big, Froggy. Big props to all the staff there. And just pretty much all you guys who are there, who we hung with, you know who you are. I just suck with names.
And if we forget your names, please email us and, well, when that's fixed. We'll probably put something up on the site when it's fixed.
Yeah. I'm just really bad with names. No offense.
Yeah. Anyway, that just about concludes this week's edition of BassNet Radio. We hope you have enjoyed the show. If you have any questions, comments, or flames, send an email once it's up to bassnet@bassnetradio.net. If you are listening to the... And for now, you could send your emails to slickzero@slickzero.net. If you are listening to this on DDP Hack Radio or on Rant Radio, up next is Binary Revolution Radio. Take care.
Peace.